240, carry the same net, rather lengthy if they send the part in, but doesn't it? On a page of 240, page 240. You want to sing all that book, huh? Well, maybe not. Whatever, 240, it's all right with me. Think about it, run out of wind.
Just four verses.
Six in my book.
Oh, I'm jacking with the wheel, so.
It seems I've got you. on the faith. Bless any tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Fellowship of kindred minds and like to none above.
Gracious Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast brought each one of us safely to this place this morning, in spite of the fears about the weather. We come, Father, desiring to worship Thee and to thank Thee for the blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon each one of us every day that we've lived in this world. And we're mindful of the fact that Thou hast promised never to leave, not to forsake us, that Thou would be with us even unto the end of the world. What a gracious God Thou art, that Thou hast looked down from Thy high and lofty habitation unto we who are people of low estate, knowing then shown that in us, that is in our flesh, there dwells no good thing. And so we come, O Lord, desiring to thank Thee for the evidences of Thy mercy and Thy grace, which Thou hast shown unto us since thou wast pleased to bring us out of darkness and into thy marvelous light. We thank thee for the love and the fellowship of thy people, knowing that in us, that is in our flesh, we're nothing at all. That by thy grace we are what we are. And we realize that, and we would not claim anything except pure, wonderful grace in bringing us out of darkness into the marvelous light, giving us hope of eternal life, and leading us and guiding us and directing us to enable us to worship thee, praise and adore and exalt thy great and holy name. Well, Lord, we realize that we are dependent in every sense of the word upon thy grace and thy mercy. We're not sufficient of ourselves for anything. But we thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast given us that thy spirit to make intercession for us. Because it's so much of the time we feel it impossible for us to pray, knowing that we know not how to pray of ourselves. But we do thank thee that thou hast made us to realize that thy spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we pray thee to be with us this day as we hope to praise and adore and exalt, lift up thy name above every name that has ever been named. Because thou art the only true and the living God, the maker and creator of all things, sovereign over all things in earth and in heaven. We therefore would preach, O Lord, and believe, as thou dost enable us to believe and to preach, thy sovereignty over all time, world, events, and to thank thee that we're not deceived. Thou hast brought us to see ourselves as what we are in the flesh, and given us hope of eternal life, so that as we live and realize full well that we soon must die in the time that thou hast appointed for each one of us and leave this world. We thank thee therefore, O Lord, for the evidences of thy mercy and the hope that thou hast implanted in our hearts. Leave us not alone, O Lord. But forsake us not, we pray thee, because we know what it is to left desiring to pray and can't pray, desiring to rejoice in that hope of eternal life, and so much of our time we can't rejoice, and yet we know that thou art a very present help in every time of need. Therefore we pray thee this morning, O Lord, with the desire will to send forth thy spirit into our hearts. Take the wanderings of our minds away from the vain, the perishing, the foolish things of this life, and reveal unto us some of the wonderful things that thou hast provided for us. Remember thy people wherever they may be. We know that thou hast a people in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and they are just as dependent upon thy grace and mercy as we are. But we're glad that thou knowest thy people. Thou knowest them every one. And in thy good time, as it seems present, seems proper in thy will and purpose, thou wilt send forth thy spirit into the hearts of thy people, whom thou didst choose in thy Son Jesus Christ before the world began, and stir them up, cause them to see and to know that in them, that is in their flesh, as well no good thing. But working in them mightily by thy spirit, O Lord, give them to realize as thou hast given days past, all thy people to realize that it isn't by what we are or what we do, but only by thy grace and thy mercy and thy loving kindness in choosing thy people in Jesus Christ, thy Son, before the world began, and revealing to us that he is our all and in all, our Savior, our God and our Savior. Lord, remember us all each day. We know not the day of our departure, but thou knowest. And we thank thee that thou hast given us faith, that in spite of all of our weaknesses, that thou wilt, as thou hast promised, not to leave us, not forsake us. But be with us, Father. Remember the sick and afflicted among us. Give them grace and faith that they may look to thee and trust in thee, and to realize full well that whatever thou dost do, for them or concerning them. It is well and it is good. So be with us, O Father, if it is thy will, we humbly beg of thee in the name of our blessed Redeemer and for his sake. Amen. I'm in a very peculiar state of mind this morning. I am now dependent, of course, upon the grace of our God for all things as you are. But I was reading yesterday some of the things that the Lord gave unto his people and the things that he chose them for, and I wondered so much at the inability of any of us in our nature to believe or to rejoice in the things that thou hast done for us. We realize, O Lord, full well that when there is any worshiping of the outer God, it must come down from heaven. Thou hast provided, even in the days of Moses and those old brethren, thou didst provide for them, and they should worship thee as thou hadst to enable them to worship thee according to the law. But then when that was finished by the blessed work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thou didst say to thy people that we are no longer under the law, but rather that thou hast given Jesus thy Son in our hearts and caused that we should no longer worship thee that way, but that we should worship God in spirit and in truth. And so we realize sometimes, at least, that we cannot worship God. It matters not how we may feel that we desire to worship, but we can't prepare ourselves. We can't put ourselves in a frame of mind even to thank our God, knowing full well that he had brought us out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the Son of God. That is, it's an amazing thing to me, sometimes at least, that men and women can't believe, and we in our flesh are the same way. We can't believe and rejoice in the things that thou hast laid down in thy word for us. Men are not able, they cannot believe, regardless of how plainly it is written in thy word, they cannot believe these things just simply by their natural intellect, but they need, as we need, and have needed, and shall continue to need as long as we live, the opening up of these things by thee, our God, and to cause that we may worship thee and thank thee for the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us in looking down upon dead creatures, dead in trespasses and in sins, and having loved them from before the world began, thou dost cause them to be quickened from their death in nature and brought forth in the loving kindness of Jesus, brought forth to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, I was reading yesterday the incident of Stephen being stoned to death. And it is hard for me, and I'm sure it is hard for you, to understand the very depth of the terrible things that are in the flesh of men. I remember I read, of course, this man over in Italy that was murdered, and I wondered how that men could be so low down as to murder, to kill, and so forth. But I also remembered that they were just the same way back in the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and before that time, in the days that Stephen was set apart with the other seven brethren, and Stephen was blessed, it seems to me, beyond measure. And if you haven't read the account of the preaching, is what it was, that Stephen gave, standing before those who were his enemies, and preaching the most wonderful thing that I think I ever read, that he was blessed to preach and to outline for those brethren the things from the beginning as God enabled Moses to worship and to bring them on down and showing them what God had promised in the way of the Savior. And yet these people couldn't understand, they could not believe it. It is said here that you remember some time ago, somewhere I undertook to speak from the text that Moses said that the Lord, I read it here, I found it in another place. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Now, of course, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and all of those people back there, they were fixed upon the Mosaic law. They were fixed upon that in their hearts and in their manner of worshiping, because they didn't know anything but the law. Didn't know anything but the law says, I shall not kill, and all those things. And yet, all of the wonderful things that God did for them, they were terrible in their flesh and in their natures. And so are men, we included, in our natures. And except for the fact that the Lord has loved his people before the world began and chose them in Christ Jesus, they would not know, they could not know, they could not believe, even though they may read very clearly the things that thou hast, our Father, has to lay down, cause holy men of old to write as he moved them. And to know what the apostle was, what it was mean, what they meant. This is that Moses, as he said there, that this Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up. I can scarcely see the book this morning, but we know that if you read this, and I hope you will feel to read that, and the Lord will open it up to you, you'll find that Stephen told them from the beginning of our father Abraham, and told them what to do, and led them in doing. And then he traced all the grace and the mercy down from those early days until that present time. And these Pharisees, Sadducees, and doctors of the law, they didn't know anything but what Moses said. But Moses had said things that they didn't understand, they didn't know. And as it was, as I read here now twice, as this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Now he was talking about, of course, the things that God had promised in raising up a prophet like unto their father, that is Moses, their father, and the prophets, and they sent forth him into the world. And yet they, though the Moses spoke of him so very many times and what he should do, And yet, he didn't come until the Father's will and time and pleasure was to send him into the world, regardless of what men thought. But in the fullness of time. I like to think about the fullness of time. There's a fullness of time for every one of God's purposes. In the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. And so this is carrying out in the very days that these people live, the saying that Moses had, that God should raise up a prophet among you, like unto me. And he was speaking, of course, of Jesus. But now when Jesus came into the world, and though Moses had plainly told them about it, and they were familiar, no doubt, with the scriptures, and yet they didn't understand it. They couldn't believe it. Because Jesus was something different from what they were looking for. They didn't want a man like Jesus as he appeared to them. They wanted a man that would be a military leader. They wanted a man to take charge and do things that they thought was well-pleasing in their sight. But God didn't send Jesus here for that purpose at all. But he sent him here as the Son of God. And God takes, as he does and has and will, all of his people from those early days, able to reveal unto them that this man Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, bringing him forth according to the prophecy and those things that were prophesied in the law, and sending him forth here in the fullness of time. God did that. And he is sending forth here, and all that you and I know of him, of God in his power, of Jesus as the Son of God, is the fact that God has revealed by his Spirit into our hearts, first of all, that we are poor dead sinners, that there's nothing in us that's good. But then he goes along until the time comes that the fullness of time comes that he is pleased to reveal to each individual that were chosen by Christ Jesus in the world, before the world began. He sends forth his Spirit. Now that's the only way we understand and know these things, is by the teaching of the Spirit of our God. We can't read it if we do not have the Spirit of God. If we have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, we can read the truth, but it won't mean a thing in the world to us. But if we have been operated upon, shall I say, use that word maybe, by the Spirit of our God, it occurs in the life of every child of God. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I've been pondering over these being born again. So many people from our president down, they're talking about being born again. Now, I wonder how many that go about boasting, perhaps, that they have been born again. They're not ashamed to say that they are born again. And yet I doubt very seriously whether, and I know for a fact, that nobody knows a thing in the world about being born again, except that the Father has chosen each and every one of them in Christ Jesus before the world began, and reveals to them that he was sent here to bring them into the knowledge of the truth, so that Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. They're forming societies, born again societies. And I have no objection to that. I hope that I could be wrong in these things. But I'm sure that those who have been born to the Spirit of God, they cannot believe that God requires them to do something in order to bless them, that they should be blessed, but rather that, as you know, my friends and brothers and sisters, as you know, the Lord has done a great work in your hearts. He's done a great work in bringing you out of darkness, bringing you to beg for mercy, confessing your sins, and then when he was pleased to reveal all of these things, what a mysterious thing it was. The Lord said to Nicodemus, you know, that the wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Isn't that a marvelous thing, brethren and friends? That he compares this working of the Spirit in the hearts of his people as a wind that blows where it listeth. It blows where God sends it. Blows where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, if you have an opportunity, and it turns out that way, that you have an opportunity to talk about those, or to those, with those, who are very earnestly, I suppose, saying that they're born again, if you have the opportunity to ask them a question or two, how was it that you were born again? And I suppose there are certain, almost, my brethren and friends, that they will tell you, well, I received and I desired to receive and did receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Yes. And they said, they will give all of these things. I did this and I did that. And I know, therefore, that I'm saved. It reminds me of sometimes of talking about what great things they've done for the Lord and comparing them with those to whom the Lord has appeared and brought them out so mysteriously, so powerfully, so wonderfully out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Yeah, the light shined in darkness. And we did not understand it. We did not see it. But God reveals to us these things. And then we know that the gracious God has chosen us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, this is the only way. And you will go along with me, I'm sure, in your experience, that this is the only way that you were brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light. And the saying there just before this said, you hath he quickened who were dead. Now, how can I ask the question? I've mentioned it many times in speaking. How in the world can a dead man believe? How can a dead person accept when especially God hasn't fixed it so that the dead can receive, can accept, but rather that he sends forth his Spirit into the hearts, quickens them. The man and the woman may do anything in the world that thinks it is pleasing in the sight of God, but the God of heaven begins the work. A man can't begin the work. The apostle writing in these things, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if you've been given a hope of eternal life, it was because the Father sent forth his Spirit into your heart, revealing to you that you were a dead sinner, an alien sinner, and there was nothing good in you. We haven't a thing in our flesh to boast of, do we? Yes, we don't have a thing in the world to boast of, because the only way that we know anything about salvation by the grace of God is for the Father to send forth his Spirit into our hearts. And this, I don't hesitate to say, that this being born of the Spirit is the first time and the only way that God reveals unto his people that he chose in Christ before the world began. He reveals unto them that they are his people and he's loved them with an everlasting love. And so it isn't what we decide we will do. I know I did for 4 or 5 years being under conviction many years ago. I did everything I knew to do. I didn't gain a thing. I didn't accomplish anything. It seemed to me like I got worse and worse. But the time came, if I'm not deceived, that the Spirit of God spoke some peace and joy in my heart so that I was made to realize it wasn't by what I was or what I could do, but rather by the grace of God, as the apostle said, by the grace of God I am what I am. And so if you read this, I would like for you to read it. It's in the 8th chapter, 9th chapter, I believe, of the Acts of the Apostles. the sixth chapter, sixth and seventh chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And I would like, my brethren and friends, I know that you're familiar with it to some extent, but if you're like I am, I read and sometimes don't understand what I read. Sometimes I realize that God has been gracious and merciful, and sometimes I wonder about it. And so when Stephen here was one among those that were chosen, the seven that were chosen out as deacons, to be deacons. And he was wonderfully blessed. Stephen was wonderfully blessed. We don't hear about it much, at least I don't think we do, of the others that were chosen, the seven that were chosen. Stephen was a man full of the Spirit of God, and a man who was blessed to stand before these who was throwing blasphemous things in the very face of the Lord's people, who preached the gospel, preached that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he was not ashamed, he was not afraid to stand before them. And so that when he had been doing these things, they brought false accusations against him. And you know they bring false accusations against the doctrine of God our Savior today. People cannot believe that salvation is only and solely by the grace of God. They can't believe that God chose his people before the world began. They just can't believe it, that God sent forth his Spirit into the hearts of these that he chosen and quickens them, brings them out of darkness. They can't believe that. And so when Stephen here was so wonderfully carrying out the blessings that God gave him and preaching unto them, they said that they hired men to tell an untruth, to lie about the matter. There's a word that I wanted to get, but I cannot. Suborn, yes. They suborn men. In other words, they hired men to tell tales and untruths that Stephen never said a word about. But that's what they wanted. They didn't want to believe that Stephen was one of the Lord's people. And so in the ninth chapter, it says, in seventh chapter, it says, then said the high priest, are these things so? And then begins the wonderful preaching that Stephen did. It's so wonderful. I hope that you may, when you have an opportunity, when it gets into your mind, to turn to these chapters here in the sixth and seventh and eighth chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, and see how boldly, how greatly the Lord blessed Stephen there to preach the truth, beginning back with our father Abraham, tracing that down through the years until this man, this prophet that Moses was talking about. He said, God would raise up a prophet like unto me, and him you should hear him. But when he came, they didn't believe these that were not of the elect family of our God, not those who did not know anything in the world about salvation by the grace of God. They didn't know it. They didn't want to know it. And therefore, every time that somebody mentioned Jesus Christ as Son of God, they were ready to fight about it. And that's what they did do. But my brethren and friends, do you remember? I suppose, I hope you do. You remember the time when you didn't know Jesus as your Savior? It had not been revealed to you? But then the time came when he revealed not only in the end of the matter that Jesus was your Savior and he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, but he made you to see, feel, and confess what a vile sinner you were. And that's the only way you could do it. Men don't do that. Lots of men today, I'm sure. They get down on their knees and they pray. They have a form of words. But I wonder how many that are not ashamed, not afraid, boldly to say, he's been born with the Spirit of God. I don't believe that a person, a man or woman, or anybody else that has actually, really been born with the Spirit of God, And what, and you go to talking about that, they approach that thing very quietly. It's so wonderful. It's so out of the ordinary that God would send forth His Spirit into the hearts of men. Yes, to bring them out of darkness and to give them hope of eternal life. So we must remember, and I use this text many times, and quoting it mostly, that that we desire to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, the preaching of the gospel is always, as the apostle said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Jew first and also to the Greek. Now that's the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. But it doesn't teach that men can reach out and take hold of it, to believe it and accept it, and be, by some action of their own, be born to the Spirit of God. It doesn't do that. Those who claim that they have joined forces all over the country and perhaps all over the world, and we are born again, we're going to preach Jesus, and now they're forming great societies. They're going to cause a great revival, as some have stated. But my brethren, you know, I hope I know, that any reviving that comes into the household of faith, into the church of the living God, that is a reviving that God sends when He sends His Spirit into their hearts, makes them to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad to know that even though we are conscious of the fact that we live and must die, and yet we have that hope, we have that assurance that God will be with us all the way through. And His grace, He said, was sufficient for us. And so haven't we found that His grace is sufficient? Don't we get weary so often in our everyday life? Can't worship as we please, as we would desire, and can't rejoice in these things, except once in a while, just out of the darkness of the flesh and nature, God sends His Spirit. Do you know anything about that? He sends His Spirit. He causes you to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad. And my brethren, we can't pray. Have you ever tried to pray and couldn't? Have you ever tried to pray and it looks like the words or the thoughts wouldn't come to you at all? And I know what it is. Because so often I feel a necessity, a desire to pray and to thank God for His mercies. And yet it seems that I'm shut up and I can't think what I want to say and can't say what I want to. But it is said that the Spirit maketh intercession for us. Aren't you glad of that? The Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so, my brethren, these are so wonderful. I know that I'm just scattering about now, but I would like for you to read these things when you get home. I have an opportunity to see just exactly what the Spirit of God was in Stephen, caused him to boldly stand before these people and preach the truth in their very faces. No wonder the high priest said, "Are these things so?" The accusations that were brought against Stephen and the other brethren, are these things so? Are they so? They didn't believe they were so. They had brought false accusations, as I said, against Stephen, but they didn't believe anything except those false accusations. But when Stephen so bitterly told them the terrible things that they were doing, they were right ready then to get rid of this man. Get rid of him. He's not fit to live. Even Saul of Tarsus was there in that company. He heard Stephen preaching. That's what it was, preaching the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And Saul didn't know anything about it. That being the truth, he stood there holding the coats or the garments of those that were stoning Stephen to death. And he knew, I've often wondered, brethren, just what Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, the Paul as it was, just what how he felt when he realized of a truth, when it had been revealed to him by the Spirit of God coming down from heaven upon him and unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? All of these things. I wonder, my brethren, as he looked back there holding the garments of this servant of God, I wonder just how he felt. I don't know how he could have felt except to pray unto God to have mercy upon him. He did those things ignorantly, but it was according to the will of God. But the thing that I want to impress is that Saul of Tarsus didn't know the truth of these things. When he was holding the garments, they saw him stoning Stephen to death. He didn't know the truth of these things until the Father sent his Spirit into his heart, and then he would realize who Jesus was. He was a blasphemer before. He caused many people to deny that Jesus was the Christ because Saul didn't know Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. But when he was brought there on his way to Damascus, just outside of Damascus, there the Spirit of God spoke, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? But I wondered, my brethren, if Saul didn't many, many times in his life beg God to have mercy upon him, poor, vile sinner that he was, in taking, having his part in taking the life of this servant of God who preached the truth as it was in Christ Jesus. Brethren, friend, read it, and may God open it up to you. It's a wonderful account of the mercy and the grace of our God as he had led those people there. And don't forget, don't mistake it, God hasn't gone off somewhere. You say, and I say, but I want to know. I'd like for him to speak. I'd like to be able to realize that God is near, and I can't realize it myself. But sometimes, not often, but sometimes, he sends forth his Spirit, and lo, we are awakened, we are blessed with joy and peace and love for the brethren, love for the God of heaven, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we realize full well that it is by the grace of God alone that we are what we are. Brethren and friends, may God be with you. Give you grace. He will for all your needs. You turn to page 154, if you will, the first hymn on that page. I want to announce that next Sunday, third Sunday, is an all-day meeting time at the Baltimore Meeting House. Elder Hollingsworth has promised to be there, and he will be, the Lord willing. And we invite the brethren and friends to come, and may God give us grace that we may praise and worship him as the only true and the living God. Page 124, Children of the Heavenly King. 54, yes. Those figures run together. Children of the Heavenly King, as you journey, sweetly sing. I won't read anymore. Let us stand and sing.
Children of the Glory.
humbly thank thee for thy tender mercies. Pray thee to forgive us of all of our sins and our iniquities. Continue to lead us and guide us, O Lord, for we know not how to guide ourselves, nor which way to go, nor what to do. So we confess, we realize we are utterly dependent upon thy grace and thy mercy. Bless thy people wherever they be, and give us grace each day, and then save us at last, we make for Christ's sake. Amen.